Continue to sing about the blessedness of the Lord. Go with me to number 334. Probably one of the most popular and most comforting of all of Miss Fanny Crosby's songs. As we sing our offertory selection this morning, page number 334, Brother Kirby and the ushers will prepare and come forward at the conclusion for the reception of this morning's tithes and offerings.
This is my story.
ask our head usher, Brother Kirby, to lead us in our offertory prayers. Brother Kirby, would you pray for us, please?
Most gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for this service. We ask these things in Jesus' loving name. Amen.
Worship as you see fit, as the Lord leads, as we sing number 10, How Great Thou Art.
great you are, dear Lord. Oh, God, how we love you. We thank you, Lord, for the love that you bestow on us. We thank you, Lord God, for Jesus, who gave himself for us. We thank you, Lord, for the hope that we have, because the grave is empty and our Master has risen from it, that you've defeated death, Lord, and that death has no hold on your people. Lord, we know that we live in a polluted world, a sinful world. But Lord, we know that nothing can separate us from your love. And Lord, in your hands, Lord, we are victorious, because, Lord, you're the victor. And as long as we follow you and seek you, Lord God, you'll bless your children. Father, we lift up our hearts to you today, Lord. We pray, Lord, continue to use us for your glory. Lord, help us to reach out into our community. Lord, drive us to realize, Lord, the days are short. And Lord, that we need to shine for you. And we need you to shine through us. Father God, I pray for the sick amongst us, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would heal them. And Lord God, I pray for the shut-ins amongst us, Lord, that you would cause us to reach out to them. But Lord, I pray for the sin-sick all around us, Lord, that they would see in you a Savior and hear that from us. Lord, we share your gospel because we love you so much, but we love them too. Lord, we grieve for every person that doesn't know you. We grieve for America, Lord, how far it's fallen. And we pray, Lord Jesus, bring it back from where it's fallen. Lord, help us to continue to speak your gospel to those in need, to show love to those around us. And Lord God, help us to realize that one day we'll stand face to face with you because of what you did on that cross. But it's not through our works, Lord, we're justified. But it's through our works we show that we have been justified. Lord, we pray for the loved ones around us who do not know you. I know a dear sister witnessed to a loved one the other day. And I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would lead this loved one to Christ. Because, Lord, the only hope we have is you. Lord, I pray, Father, make us strong in you. And, Lord, put away from us all temptation and sin. Lord, let us continue to draw together as your church and to do the things you call us to do. Lord, let us stand in unity following you. For you have been so good to us. And Lord, we pray for our president, for the Congress of this nation. For a long time, this has been a great, great nation. But Lord, when a nation draws away from you, Lord, it loses its strength. And America is not a God, but you are God. So Lord, bring us back from what you've lost. And Lord, help us to worship you in spirit and truth. We love you, Lord. We thank you for this table that you've given us. We thank you, Lord God, for your word that you've given us. We thank you for the first life you gave us and for the second life that you gave us through Christ. Eternal life that only Jesus can give. We bow before you and say, glorify thy name in us. And forgive us, Lord, when we fail you. Make us stronger so that we fail you less. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. And all God's people said,
amen. Amen.
How many young people like to talk to me today? Hey there. You like bananas? You like bananas? Eli, do you like bananas? You know, I like them when they get like this. And I've learned from experience, when you get a banana that's green, it don't taste right. So I look at it and I let it kind of get over. You think that'd be a good banana? I say, you don't think it'd be a good banana? You like it yellow? So see, it's got some spots on it because it's aged out, but it got sweeter. And after that, it's good on the inside. And it's sweet. We examine it. And we look at it. And that right there makes it better. You like banana sandwiches? You never have. You just like bananas? Do you think this one's sweet? You don't think it is? Want to taste? Tell me if that's sweet or not. That's sweet, isn't it? You want to try it? Is that good? Oh, it's good. You want to taste? No? Do you want to taste? He's ignoring me. But see, I examined that banana and I looked at it and know it's sweet. You know, today we're going to have the Lord's table. And during the Lord's table, we examine ourselves and we ask ourselves, is Jesus inside of me? And if Jesus is inside of me, then I get sweeter. If I walk around bitter and mean all the time, then Jesus probably isn't there. You do? Okay. Was that good? So I bet you like bananas like that now, huh? And you didn't know that was sweet till you tasted it, did it? But once you tasted it, you found out it was good. So y'all need Jesus inside of you. And I'm going to pray that Jesus will get inside of you, that you'll call him. Oh, okay. So it's time for us to stop. Y'all are losing your attention. Father, I thank you for these young people. I thank you, Lord God, for the love that you give us. And Lord Jesus, I pray that, Lord, you'll change this vampire into a Jesus lover one day. That you'll bless this young man next to me. Bless this young lady and this other young man. And let them know what it means to find Jesus. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Would y'all like to tell her a book and some prayers? All right, grab you one. Thank you for coming. All right. Man, I've got a good helper here. This is a future deacon, I think, don't you? It's doing well. Audience, if you would, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Will you be my helper all the time? Okay. It's good to be in the house of God.
Amen.
You have a bulletin in the inside right-hand page of the bulletin has a responsive reading for the day, and we're going to be focusing on the Lord's table. I normally have been doing Isaiah on Sunday mornings and on Wednesday night, 1 Corinthians. But it just happens that our next text in 1 Corinthians is the Lord's table. So I thought, what better thing to do than the Lord's table? 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 through 33 is what our responsive reading will be. We're going to talk about what the Lord's table is. It is much more than just a ritual. So if you would, the audience, read the bold-faced text. 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 through 33. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said,
Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.
After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying,
This cup is the new testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.
For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord.
But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup.
For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep.
For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged.
But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world.
Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another.
Always love the times when we come together for the Lord's table. I think it's a wonderful time. I remember several many years ago, my mentor, the man who took me under his wing, served the Lord's table backwards. And I don't think anybody noticed but myself and him. And he told me later, he said, I messed up. I did it backwards. He did the blood first,
the cup first, and then he did the bread. And I didn't notice, at first, whenever he did it, I thought something's wrong, but then I don't think the audience noticed it. But everything in the Lord's table has meaning, even the order in which Jesus served it. When he served the Lord's table, he started out with bread. That's his body, which was broken for us. Jesus is the vessel by which we receive salvation. And if we're to be saved, we receive Jesus into our vessel. We bring him in by faith. We trust him. We love him. And Jesus shared the bread first, because until he was broken on that cross, until he bore our sins and our sorrows, until he was beaten and bruised, until God poured out our sins on him, there was no hope for salvation. Jesus' blood was shed after the body was broken. And that's very important to understand. Now, as we come to the Lord's table, it's a time to examine what Jesus did for us, but it's also a time to examine ourselves. The Lord's table is a time for self-examination. I cannot get you into heaven.
Amen.
I can tell you how to get into heaven, but I cannot get you into heaven. The Lord's table, he tells us, he says in verse 28, let a man examine himself. Not the person next to you.
That's right.
But himself. Herself. Where am I in Christ? Do I have a relationship with Jesus? Because as you take of the Lord's table, you're intimately doing something. You're eating of Christ. You're bringing him into your life. And if you're not, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, then what you're doing in the ritual is just that. It's a ritual. It's nothing else. You're to examine yourself. You know, the Corinthians were coming together, but they weren't coming together for the Lord's table. They were coming together divided, torn apart. See, the Lord's table is a time where we come together. You know, a lot of people don't realize this, but Judas Iscariot was sent away from the table before Jesus gave the Lord's table. The betrayer went away. And if you'll look at that picture, that famous picture of the Lord's table, the artist drew 12 people around Jesus, but there were only 11 around Jesus that day. Jesus gave Judas the sop, but he didn't give him the bread. He said, go and do what you've got to do. And if you've got to betray me, you go on out. You see, the Lord's table is not for betrayers, or for those who don't love Jesus. The Lord's table is for those who love the Lord. Amen. And realize what he did for them. Paul talked about the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 11, the chapter I asked you to turn to. Verses 18 and 19, he said, first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there's divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. And Paul said in verses 20 and 22, when you come together in one place, it's not to eat the Lord's supper, for in eating everyone taketh before other his own supper. And one is hungry and another is drunken. Do you not have houses to eat in? Now what is he talking about? He's talking about this, that people were not coming together to worship Jesus at the Lord's table. They were coming together and they turned it into an eating meeting where they were fighting over the food. And they had taken the Lord's table and turned it into a time where it was all about me and all about getting what I could get. But that's not what the Lord's table is about. The Lord's table is about coming together as one, loving the God who died for us. For Jesus Christ died for us. He shed his blood for us. And when we come together as family because of what Jesus has done. And that's a wonderful thing. That is a wonderful thing. I remember one time, many years ago, first church I was ever in, not as a pastor, I was a member there, as a deacon there. And I remember we had the Lord's table. And at the end of the Lord's table, they would take the service back to the kitchen. And as they would bring it to the kitchen, they would clean the service. And all the cups that they didn't use, they would take them and pour them out. And then they'd clean the service. But a group of children followed them back to the kitchen one day. And the children were fighting over who was going to get the grape juice, as children only do. And those children, as they grabbed that grape juice and tried to get that bread to eat it and tried to bring that in, and they fought over it, God spoke to my heart and he said, that's not what my table is about. My table is about my people coming together in love and remembering that none of us deserve salvation.
Amen.
Not one of us are right in our own strength.
Amen.
But Jesus Christ died for me.
Amen.
He died for me. And because of that, we have access to God. What a glorious thing that is.
Amen.
Amen.
The Lord's table is for those who realize that Jesus did give himself for us. And Paul told the Corinthians this, and he says, "He that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." And what that means is, if you take the Lord's table frivolously, and you take it mockingly, then God can take your life. He says in the text, verse 30, "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." And a loveless attitude at the Lord's table can turn into the loss of life. That's in the text. So we examine ourselves. Am I where I need to be? Am I carrying the wrong spirit in me? Am I carrying a grudge against somebody? Do I have an unforgiving heart? Am I greedy and self-serving? Because the Lord's table is a time where we look at ourselves and say, "Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry." So as we come to the Lord's table and we prepare our hearts for this, I want us to examine what Christ did. In verse 23, it says, "The Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." I want you to notice that he was betrayed, but he still gave the Lord's table. Jesus was betrayed, and he took that bread, and he gave thanks for what he was going to give. It says, "When he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you.'" And I want you to notice that Jesus gave his own body. Nobody took his life, but he gave his life. He surrendered it for the glory of the Father. Jesus did that, and he said, "This do in remembrance of me." The one who was God by all things were created, the Bible says, in heaven and earth. All things were created through him and for him. This God gave his life for us. And nobody took his life from him, but he willingly laid it down. And when we come to the Lord's table, we willingly lay our lives down to him. And we willingly lay our lives down to one another. And we love one another because of what Jesus did.
Amen.
The Bible says Jesus gave himself a ransom for all, over in 1 Timothy 2:6. And the Lord's table is for anyone who believes in him. And if you believed in him, then he has ransomed you. And you belong to him. And one day you will see him face to face.
Amen.
Oh, isn't that good? It's good to know who you belong to, isn't it?
Amen.
We don't belong to the devil anymore. And we don't belong to the things of this world, but we belong to Jesus. The Bible says, "After the same manner he took the cup, and when he drank of it, Jesus said, 'This cup is the New Testament, my blood. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' And I am so thankful for the cup." You know, the only thing that keeps us from having to sacrifice animals today is the fact that Jesus Christ's blood was shed for us.
Amen.
I want y'all to write down Hebrews chapter 10. Write that down. Remember that. Go home and read that. Hebrews chapter 10. Because Hebrews chapter 10 gives you the greatest picture of the cross there is. In Hebrews 10, it tells us that the sacrifice of animals was not sufficient in order to make payment for sin. But that the blood of animals was given as a temporary sacrifice. And every year, in Hebrews 10, it tells you, you did sacrifice over and over again to remind you that it wasn't sufficient. Because if it was sufficient, it would have been done once and for all. But in Hebrews 10, it tells us that Jesus, when he came,
He made a once and for all sacrifice for sin. And because he died for your sins and for my sins, because he shed his blood on the cross, we can come to him and receive him as Lord and Savior and never have to worry about hell.
Amen.
And never have to worry about the wrath of God. Because God saves his people through Christ. It is a once and for all sacrifice. And the Bible says in Hebrews 10:12, this man, when he offered one sacrifice for sins forever. Oh, praise God for that.
Amen.
Because I can tell you this, in this past week, I sinned.
Amen.
Did not you sin?
That's right. Amen.
Did you not fall short of God sometime this week? Everybody did, if you'd be honest.
That's right.
But thank God. Thank God for what Jesus did for me.
Amen.
Yeah.
And his sacrifice for sin covered sin forever. Now that doesn't justify sin. And we're to put away sin from us. But we recognize when we sin, we run to the fount of Christ. And we lay it down at his feet. Thank God for that. And the Bible says in Hebrews 10:14, and this is one thing I love. It says, for by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Because of Jesus, God is at work in you, dear Christian. And God is changing you from what you were to what he wants you to be. And one day you'll stand in glory with him and there will be no sin in you.
Amen.
Because of what Jesus did for you. Is Jesus in your life? Is Jesus in your life? If Jesus is in your life and you claim him as Lord and Savior, then, beloved, you're on a pathway headed toward heaven. And what a glorious thing that is.
Amen.
But if he's not, today is today to say, Jesus, I believe you died for me. Jesus, I believe you rose again for me. Jesus, I believe you're alive. And Jesus, I invite you into my life. And Jesus will come. Jesus will come. Jerry, if you'll come, we're going to have a hymn of invitation before we take the Lord's table. What a wonderful day this is. As we come to the hymn of invitation, please examine your life and ask yourself, is there something I need to do before I take this table? Is there a burden I need to lay down? Is there a person I need to give forgiveness to? Is there something I need to put out of my life? Am I not saved? Don't take this table unworthily, because God's word does not come back void. It never does. Jerry, if you would.
Page 294.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way.
The Bible tells us that on the night of the feast of the Passover, at the end of that feast, Jesus took bread. He broke it. He blessed it. And he looked at his disciples. He said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you." I'm going to ask Brother Dean if you'll bless the bread.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and this many blessings. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the privilege we have this morning of partaking of your table. We pray that you just be with us. We know that through your grace only that we're worthy to take it.
Yes.
Forgive us of our sins in Christ's name. Amen.
God, the bread from heaven. Not as our fathers ate and died, but whosoever taketh of him shall live forever. Together, family. The Bible tells us that on that same night, Jesus took the cup. Blessing the cup, he said, "Take, drink. This is my blood of the New Testament that is shed for you." Brother Billy, would you bless the cup?
Father, we come to you today thanking you for this beautiful Sabbath day. Thanking you for the privilege of partaking of the Lord's Supper. Lord, we just want to thank you for making us worthy of serving you.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
The Bible tells us that apart from the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ our Lord cleanses us from all sin. Together, family. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do so in remembrance of what Christ has done for you. The Bible tells us that at that first Lord's table, they went out into the night. I often say, we're going out into the night.
Amen.
It's gotten very dark in America. But they went out into the night knowing that God was going to shine through them. But we're going to go out into the night and shine for Jesus. It says as they went out into the night before they went, they sang a song. So, Jerry, what are we going to sing today?
Y'all look so good dressed out as a family in your pink. I'm just so pleased. You've blessed my soul this morning. So it's appropriate that we sing The Family of God. Miss Kathy, I think it's 386, if I remember correctly. Let us sing.
Sunday school with us. Miss Ruby's class will be up here, but everybody can migrate down, get coffee and donuts, then come back and have a... What are we going to study today, Miss Ruby?
We're studying Solomon's unfailing wisdom. Christ-centered life chooses wisdom in place of knowledge.
Oh, that's awesome. What are we studying there? Same thing in the men's class. That's just wonderful. Well, I'm going to ask Brother Bill Shelton if you would close us in prayer.
Father, again, we come to you this morning. Opportunity you had to come out to the house to worship for this beautiful day. You look